Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, we have Kimball and Ben Sullivan, who are just newly married. How long since you guys have been married as of today?
It's our 3-month anniversary today, actually.
Ooh, that's wonderful. So we're going to get lots of information today on how they met, what it's like to be a newlywed couple, and how their lives have changed. So welcome, you guys. We're happy to have you here today.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here.
Well, let's go ahead and just jump right into the story. Tell us first how you met.
I guess to start off, I became really good friends with Ben's younger sister, Sarah, who I'm 20, she's 19. So we have about a year between us. We became really good friends. We're on dance company together. And then Ben eventually joined the dance company and got more involved. And our best friend, Sadie, actually introduced us just at a youth camp that we were at in California.
That's how you met each other.
Yeah. So the first time that we met was at that youth camp. And that was actually really key in our relationship, I think. Because even though we were just introduced for a second and we didn't actually become friends in that moment, there were key things that happened on that trip that influenced how our relationship developed.
Tell me about those key things.
So I became really good friends with Sadie, which is the girl who introduced us on that trip, as well as I became best friends with my friend Levi on that trip. And both of those two people were really influential in helping me to make good decisions and develop my relationship with Kimball.
That's awesome. That's great. So tell me about after the trip.
I'm trying to think, right after the trip, then that coming year is when you joined dance company, is that right?
Yeah, and Sarah joined with me.
Yeah, so his sister, Sarah, and him both joined. And I remember Sarah and Ben would kind of bicker at times because I'd go over to hang out with Sarah. Ben would want to hang out with me. It was just kind of, it was fun to have like a threesome that when we were like hanging out together, it was a party.
And there came a point actually where my sister and I were bickering a lot over Kimball, and she said, "I'm not going to be friends with either of you unless you two can figure it out." And so she left, and my sister and I, Sarah is her name, just kind of sat there and were like, what do we do now? So we had a really nice heart-to-heart, and since then, her and I have become really good friends, my sister and I, and we have a really good relationship now.
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, they're best friends.
So it's all because of Kimball.
I don't know about that.
I know about that.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you're on dance company. So I'm guessing you were a senior in high school?
I was a junior when I joined.
Okay. So, and you were...
I joined when I was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow. Then, so at the camp, you were very young when you met.
Yeah. Well, I was 14.
Yeah, that was going into my junior year when we were at that camp.
Oh, so I was 15.
Yeah, so you would have been 15, I think.
You've known each other for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why don't you tell me about dating in high school? Did you date in high school or were you just friends in high school?
I'm sure that like if we had different standards, we absolutely would have wanted to date, but we both didn't want to seriously date at all. So we kind of just labeled each other, like the three of us, Sarah, Ben, and I were best friends. That's just what we were. And we had made like certain rules for ourselves so that we would make sure and keep our standards. Because I remember the very first night that I finally was like, this kid is amazing. Like, I could see myself marrying him.
Whoa, how old were you?
I was 15.
Holy smokes.
I know, wow. We both had that the same night. So yeah. It was pretty impressive.
Oh my heavens. Tell me about that night. What is it that brought that on? Those kinds of feelings at such a young age.
So it actually started, for me at least, it started that day because we were doing a play together. We were doing the show Aida at the high school. And we were having a morning to afternoon activity with all of the cast to paint the set because we were behind on painting the set. And so the entire cast came and we were doing that. And I just got some paint and I put it on Kimbo. And then she got some paint and we started having like this paint war in the middle of this like cast activity. And so that started it for me. And I was like, oh, like she's playful. Like she's cute.
That evening we had a Halloween party for a dance company.
Yeah, this was on Halloween. Yeah. I don't know if we mentioned this.
And I didn't know this at the time, but Ben apparently was like, okay, if she keeps her paint on for the Halloween party, I know she's the right girl. Just kind of like teasing. And of course I took a shower and I got in my Halloween costume. And he was actually so bummed when he got there and I didn't have my paint on me anymore.
I was. It's true. I was really sad.
Didn't your mom ask you why you were keeping your paint on while you were showering?
She was trying to convince me to take it off. And I did not.
Oh, that's funny. But that night we drove home, Sarah, Ben, and I, and just parked in front of my house, and all three of us were talking, and we just got on the subject of the gospel, and we basically just shared our testimonies and shared spiritual experiences we had had that helped confirm that Jesus is the Christ, that this is what we want to live. And I remember walking out, and I wrote in my journal that night, I've never met someone with like a spiritual strength that I feel so like comfortable with, that I feel like matches my spiritual strength. Cause my mom had always told me like, you're going to be more spiritual than the boys for a while, kind of a thing. But Ben was right there with me. I just loved that Ben was right there with me. Like I felt like he was someone that would help me to grow rather than me being the only person, like help. It would just be a really good mutual relationship. So I had written in my journal that night, I was like, I absolutely want to marry someone like him.
Well, that's what marriage is, somebody mm-hmm. who can help you grow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good match. So Ben, you went on a mission, and Kimball, how was that for you? Were you like, I'm not waiting, but I'm really waiting? Or what? Tell me about that. First of all, Ben, where did you serve?
I served in the Spain Madrid mission.
Okay, so you were gone for 2 years. Kimball, what was that like for you?
It was very interesting. Just, I remember we had kind of touched base before he left, and we had said, like, you know what, if we're still both, like, totally free of other people and things, we're completely fine with, like, we'd love to marry one another. The thing that stuck with me, Ben and I, is like, hey, can we go, like, sit at the temple, just, like, on the temple grounds real quick and talk? And I was like, sure. And he just told me, like, Kimball, I'd be willing to wait 3 years for eternity, because 3 years is what it would be when we combined my mission and his. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like, whoa, what? I was so excited about that, but also like freaked out, like, wait, I don't know, I don't want to make this decision right now. But it was so, so wonderful. I remember telling my mom that after, and that's what sold my mom on Ben. Mm-hmm.
She already was sold on me.
Excuse me.
Ben, that's really gutsy to say right before your mission. You know, you don't know the future, mm-hmm. and you're so young anyway, and you don't know who else you're going to meet. Yeah. Tell me about why you would say something like that, and I can't even imagine what's going through your heart at such a young age.
Yeah, it was really interesting, just because we both understood that there could be other people that we could marry out there. And throughout the entire process of getting to know Kimball and falling in love with Kimball, we would also date other people. We made a rule that we couldn't go on 2 dates in a row with one another, that we had to go on dates with other people before we could go on a date with each other once again. And so through that, I came to realize that there were other girls that had good qualities, and Kimball would agree with me on this, that there are other people out there who match us. But I had come to learn that Kimball matched me more wholly than anyone else, or more perfectly than anyone else. And I've come to see that even more now that we've been married, is the qualities that she has are, a lot of them are the qualities that I lack. And so she is able to kind of pick up my slack in a way. And so to answer your question of like what was going through my mind at such a young age, I think more than anything, I was scared that such a perfect girl was going to find an even more perfect man, because I'm in no wise perfect. And so I was just afraid that she was going to choose someone else. And so I was like, just so you know, I'd be okay with getting married if we're both single.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So you go on your mission. Were you writing each other back and forth then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd actually send voice recordings most of the time back and forth, just because it was a lot easier for him on his mission, especially when he was in the office for 9 months, because he's so busy, even on P-days. It was easier to just, like, as you're doing stuff, you're doing a voice recording. And then you also get their voice. You get this more stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
And when you came home off your mission, she had gone on a mission.
Yep.
Is that right? So Kimball, go ahead and tell me where you served.
I served in the North Carolina Raleigh mission.
And the words before he left, did they echo in your mind still? You're like, 3 years to eternity? Or you're like, oh, I've long forgotten about that.
They absolutely echoed in my mind. I remember kneeling at my bed, just praying and pleading, like, Heavenly Father, it really is the desire of my heart to be able to marry him. But that seems just like so far away, so distant. I don't know if that could ever happen. But I would always remind Heavenly Father, I'm like, just so you know, so you can keep it tucked away while I'm busy at work on my mission and such, that is one of my greatest desires.
Wow. So let's talk about that, because I want to hear about where all of this, how did it all just come to fruition? How did everything just move forward, and all of a sudden you're home and you're getting married?
Yeah.
Let's tell me the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, something I guess that just made a huge impact on me was that Ben was always willing to adapt to situations, even though he considers that one of his weaknesses is to like change the situation all of a sudden. But he was always willing to adapt to our circumstances. For example, we're in high school, we're on a mission. And he was willing to be able to set those boundaries to keep both of us very right with the Lord. And that's something that I greatly admired from him. And throughout my mission, actually, I would think about him every so often. I would think about him every day, but it never overclouded my mind from the other things that I needed to be focusing on. And if anything, it was a strength to me to think that, like, someone that I loved so dearly and thought so highly of me.
Well, what happened? Because you were literally on a mission one day and then you were home the next, engaged. So what exactly happened here?
That's literally how I felt. Right. Actually, a little before my mission, probably, I don't know, 3 months or so, I started dealing with depression for the first time in my life. And I was like, what is this? I have not experienced this. No one in my family had ever experienced it, at least openly. And so I guess I didn't really know how to deal with it. I was very confused, but I knew that it was the time for me to go on a mission. That I had the confirmation that it was time for me to go. And so I tried my best to just find different coping methods to go and spend time with family members that I felt could strengthen me. And then I left. And the first few months on my mission were so hard. I had never experienced that much depression or stress in my life. And I think, well, I guess it's not exactly the stress, but it was just the matter of my ability to handle the stress was so much lower than I was used to. And so I actually got both, I was mentally and physically sick at that time. And I called my mission president. I was like, President Holland, I can't do this. I'm just not healthy right now. And he said, no, Sister Wasland, I can absolutely see that you're going to finish your full-time mission. So I need you to see that through my eyes. And I was like, okay, I can hold on to that. And actually my next companion was my personal savior in that moment. The Savior was reaching out to me through her. She completely buoyed me up, and she had called President Holland saying the exact same thing the day before, that she wanted to go home as well. And our president knew that we both needed someone who had complete empathy for each other.
How long had you been out on your mission at this time?
At that point, I think that was 4 months. Mm-hmm. 4 months on my mission.
And what about your other companion, the one that you loved?
That I loved? She had been out a year or so. Yeah, about a year or so. Anyway, and she buoyed me up, and then I got to be that person for my next companion. And I remember one day suddenly my thoughts just turned again, and I could feel that depression back. And I was like, what in the world? I got rid of you. What is going on? And I knelt down and prayed that morning and said, Heavenly Father, like, I had never prayed for this, I guess, just that I prayed that I could have charity towards others as well as myself. I'd never prayed to have charity towards myself. And as I prayed for that, I had the very distinct impression that I need you to go home then. And I was so confused and thrown off, and I kind of just pushed it aside at first. And I decided that I would continue to pray about it. And I read my patriarchal blessing, and all of a sudden, certain lines about my mission, I finally understood. I knew what that meant now. When he said that it was my full-time mission in the Lord's time, over and over again. And I was like, oh, this makes sense now, that it is in his time, because my time is a year and a half, but the Lord's time was only 8 months. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I came home, I had full support of my parents, my mission president, and the brethren. And then Ben ended up proposing to me that night that I got home.
So time out. Let's back up. So, had you been in contact with Ben this whole time that you were on your mission?
Yeah, I had been in contact with him. But the thing that was really cool is that over those 3 days of, okay, I need to go home. What? And then, okay, I'm going home. This is what Heavenly Father needs me to do. I didn't think about Ben at all, which showed, as I looked back on it all, it showed me Heavenly Father knows me really well, because he knows that if I had been thinking about Ben throughout that, I would have been like, oh, you're just missing Ben. You just want to go home because Ben's home. I would have absolutely done that to myself and said, no, I'm just going to stay here. That's ridiculous. But I didn't think about him at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. That's because that's important. For our listeners to understand those kinds of decisions that are so important. And Ben, you're at home waiting for her. You knew this was going to happen. Did you have a ring already? Tell me about that.
So no, I didn't expect it to happen. And so it kind of came as a surprise to me. But it was really interesting because, like, throughout my entire mission, there would be times when I'd be especially missing Kimball, and I just have a prayer in my heart that, like, if she's the one that, like, I can marry, that I want to marry her, you know, and just, like, feeling a connection with her, I guess, in a way. But deep down inside, I knew that, like, I wouldn't be able to pray on my mission and receive an answer that she was the one that I was supposed to spend eternity with. But when I got home, about a month into starting school, I started dating, like, lightly dating, not really, like, getting super into it, but starting to think about it, at least. And so I was trying to decide what my next step was. Because if I was waiting for Kimball, and if I felt like she was the one that I wanted to marry, and that I should marry, then I wouldn't take dating as far as, like, seriously dating someone. But if I felt like I should date other people and start looking for a companion, then I should do that. And so I was praying about it one day, and I fasted with the intent of knowing if I should wait for her or not. And I know that someone can't receive an answer to a prayer unless they can act on it. And so for the first time in my life, I could act on this. And so I fasted, and I knelt down and prayed, and I asked if, not only if Kimball was the one that I should marry, but I expressed my desire to marry her, and I asked if that was all right. And I received a spiritual confirmation that I could wait for her, and that I could marry her.
Did you have any idea that she was thinking about coming home?
Not a clue, no. And so that was what was so interesting about it, is I knew that she was struggling, but I didn't know that she was at the point of coming home. And so that was on a Monday, and then Saturday, Kimball's mother came over to our house and asked if she could talk to me. And I was like, yeah, sure. So we went outside, and she was like, so Kimball's coming home next week. And I was like, what? Because I had, because Kimball's mother and I are very close. Like, uh-huh. we're good friends. Uh-huh. And so I had expressed to her that I had received an answer that, you know, I wanted to marry Kimball and that I felt like that was okay. And
they're really close.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And so we, I'd expressed that with her. And so she came over and was like, oh, by the way, Kimball's coming home. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. Yeah. And so my immediate thought was, well, is it because of me? Like, is it because of something I did? But then Kimball shared the fact that it, like, she wasn't thinking of me when she decided right. to come home and whatnot. And that really was comforting to me. So
when she came home and you saw her for the first time, tell us what you were feeling. Bring us into that moment.
So we were at the Cedar City Airport. We were there with her family, and my family was there as well, my parents and sister. And we were waiting for everyone to come off the plane, and she was like the last person to come off, I think, or the second to last.
She was in the clear back.
Yeah, she was in the very back. And so we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and everyone's super excited. And then I see her walk off the plane, and my dad was still kind of like doubting a little bit, not like really, but he was like, okay, like, I trust your decision, but you'll know in the moment, you know. And that's what my parents kept telling me, is that once you see her, you'll know. And it's exactly how it was. Like, I saw her come off the plane, and I just knew that, like, the things that we had done, the decisions that we had made, had led up to this moment.
When did you ask her to marry you?
So we gave each other a hug. I didn't propose at the airport.
I was wondering.
No, so we gave each other a hug and took a couple of pictures, and then she went home with her family and went and got released. And then
he didn't know that I wasn't going immediately to get released. He thought I was going to get immediately released, but I went home for a bit first, and he was at my house with my grandparents to grab something, and I was like, you need to go.
Anyway, so, yeah, she went and got released, and I had told her before she went and got released to call me when she was done, and so she called me, and she was like, I'm really tired and whatnot, and I actually wasn't planning on proposing that day. And that was not my intention at all. I just wanted to say hi to her, give her a hug, not worry about her being a missionary, and like, da da da. Anyway, so I was like, okay, like, I'd love to talk to you and just like catch up if you'd like, but if you'd rather go to bed, you totally can. And she was like, okay, you can come over. And I was like, cool. So we came over and started talking.
we went and sat on the like front porch bench that we'd always sit on and talk just through high school and such. And I remember like one of the first things I said, we were sitting there for a sec, and I just said, you know, Ben, I wouldn't mind at all like spending the rest of my life with you. Like, I'd really enjoy that. So I kind of proposed.
You said that. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, she was first. Yeah. And so we started talking.
How did that make you feel when she said that?
I was excited. Like, we had, because we had kind of expressed that to each other uh-huh. before, just like a week or two before she came home. And so, like, yeah, I kind of knew it, but it was really nice to hear in person, like with her right there, you know? So that was exciting. And so we started talking. And so I was like, so what do you plan on doing with the rest of your life? And she was like, well, I wouldn't mind marrying you. And then said some other things. That was the first thing she said. And then she said some other things. And then she was like, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And I was like, well, I wouldn't mind marrying you. And then I said some other things. And so we kind of sat there in a moment of silence. And then I was like, so is it official then?
Not official until it's on Facebook.
No, but no one knee. It was just no one knee or anything like
he
that.
He actually got down on a knee, and he had given me a CTR ring that was a white CTR ring in high school. Uh-huh. And he just took that off and put it on the other finger after proposing.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's you're like, I'm home. This
I'm
is
home.
So fast.
Oh,
that's great. How long was that after the proposal that you got buried in the temple?
When did I get home? October?
You got home October 2nd, and we were married December 20th, which is another funny story, actually. Because so we got engaged, and then we were like, okay, we'll kind of sit on this, and we'll talk and pray, and we'll decide on a date later, you know? And so Kimball was like, okay, I don't want to rush anything. Like, I just got home. We should take things slow. And so I was like, okay. So the next day, I was thinking about it a lot. I was feeling good about April. And I was like, I'm going to say like April 3rd, you know, not too late in April, but just enough time so that like we aren't rushing things, you know? And so I call Kimball up and I'm like, okay, how do you feel about April 3rd? And she was like, no, I'm thinking more like December-ish. And I was like, it's October, you want to take it slow, so December. It's just funny. So we got married in December. We compromised.
We compromised.
So on the day after we got engaged, was the day that we had the whole like April, December, that whole thing. But then also we had planned on going to the temple together that day to go through a session.
Oh, the day after.
Yeah, the day after. So that we could kind of pray about it and think about it. And Kimball was like, I don't really want... Like, I want some alone time.
I wanted to have some personal time to reflect on what had just happened.
Yeah, sure.
And so I was like, I had been preparing myself to go to the temple that day. And I had told her, like, okay, I'll pick you up so that we can get there for the 3:20 session. And she was like, okay, that sounds good. And so it was like 2 hours before that. And then she called me and she was like, I want some personal time. And I was like, okay. So then I went to my car. And I was just, like, praying, and I was like, okay, so what should I do? Because, like, that totally just, like, changed all my plans, you know? My whole day is gone now. I was expecting it to spend it with Kimball, and now she's saying no. And so I was just praying, and I was like, what should I do? And I felt like I should go to the temple. And so I drove over to the temple, and I was like, okay, like, I really want to go into the temple and do something just so that I can also have some personal time. But I don't want her to think that, like, I'm going to the temple so that I can be with her, even though she doesn't want me to be with her, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was planning on catching the 3:20 session, but I missed it by 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, hopefully Kimball was in that session. So that way, like, she doesn't have to see me and be like, oh, he's just here for me. And so I sat in the room for the 40 minutes waiting for the session to start. And about two or three minutes before the session start, Kimball walked in.
Can I tell my part of that? So I'm driving there, and I'm also planning on 3:20 session, because I'm like, okay, I'm sure Ben won't be going now because he knows I want personal time. He'll probably be going to at least a different session or something. So I start going, and I, for some reason, get off on the wrong exit. And I'm like, I have never done this in my life. Why am I getting off on the wrong exit? I get off on the wrong exit, and I get to the temple. I'm running a little late, but I'm still like barely going to make it. And then I'm walking through the grounds, and I'm like, oh, I know that person. I need to go talk to him. So I go over and I talk to her. It makes me 2 minutes late for the 3:20 session. So I walk in. I don't even see Ben. I don't see him at all. And I go and sit down, and I open to Doctrine and Covenants, and I'm reading the section where it talks, I think it's talking to Joseph Smith, and he says, Joseph Smith, you're still called to preach the gospel. And that was so comforting for me that, like, even though I'm not a missionary, I'm still called to preach the gospel, because that's what I knew and lived for 8 months. And then the next line, it says, and I give unto you a companion. And instead of the name that was on there, so boldly, the Spirit was like, Benjamin Sullivan. I was like, oh, okay, I got it. We're engaged. It's good. And I tilt my head, and I see Ben a few rows ahead of me. And I felt like God was giving me these flashing lights. Like, you don't need to worry. I've got it. I've got it. We're good.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
It was really good.
So then, like, we got up to go into the session, and Kimball was, like, standing there waiting for me to walk up with her. And I was like, I am so sorry. And she's like, no, you're fine. So then, yeah. So then it was good.
That's awesome. So tell me about the wedding day.
The wedding day was amazing. I have never felt more peace in my life than I did that day. I thought, like, bridal day, like, the bride's, like, crazy, trying to get her hair done. Mm-hmm. She's all excited, nervous, anxious. I was so peaceful. I have never felt that much peace in my life. And that was just such a confirmation to me that it was right.
Thank you, Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. There's a lot of peace and a lot of excitement as well. We actually had a sealer who was, he was Spaniard actually, and so that was super cool. And he gave us a lot of really good advice as we were sitting there. One of the biggest things that he told us was to always pray out loud for your partner by name. And I thought that was just so cool. And the promises that he gave us with that were that you'll always have the revelation and inspiration to know what they're feeling and how to help them if you do that. That hit me hard.
It's a great thing to remember. Mm-hmm. Kimball, if there's anything you wanted to remember about your wedding day, what is it that stuck out to you?
That peace, for sure. And I think three things. So second of all was that we had so many people who loved us and were cheering us on. We could feel that from both sides of the veil. And then third, our sealer told us to live happily ever after, not to just endure, but to live happily ever after. And I needed that because endure had become a negative thing in my mind, but we were going to live happily ever after.
Love that. That's great advice. It's been 3 months. What are you doing to live happily ever after?
That was a good question. Lots of things, I would say. I would say it's all the little things. Like, we both love to dance, and so there will be times when, like, I'll just grab Kimball and start dancing. And most of the time, she doesn't like it because she's distracted and doing something else.
And then I like it after a second.
She's like, I am trying to send this text right now.
Or I'm trying to cook eggs, and then he just wants to dance. We do the ASL I love you sign a lot.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Absolutely. There's just lots of little things. So,
If you could share something with your children from this podcast, because one day they're going to be getting married and they're going to be in a similar situation, what would you share with them?
Yeah, I would say a similar prompting and inspiration we had from our ceiling is put their needs above your wants. Don't put their needs above your needs, because you still need to take care of yourself, but put their needs above your wants.
My advice would be to always follow the Spirit and follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, just because we wouldn't be where we're at now unless we did that. Because all of the decisions that we made from when we were 15 and 16 to now when we've been married for 3 months have followed that rule. Of just, like, we haven't been perfect by any means, but we've always tried to follow the Spirit, and we've set spiritual goals and worked on them together. So.
That's great advice for anybody who's been married for any set of time. Thank you for sharing that with us. We're glad you came and joined us today in our studio, and we appreciate learning about your wedding story and the love and the romance, and adding that component of spirituality, because it's something that a lot of people might miss when they're dating or when they're getting married. And it's such an important component as you put all of that together. So thank you for sharing that component with us.
Yes.
And we want to thank our audience for joining us today. We hope you join us again for the Family Story Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.